Well, it is good to be here. I don't know how the Lord keeps doing it, but every week when I'm studying scripture, it seems like the message is so relevant for today. And it's again this week. So the last 3 weeks for me, I've just been like, wow. Got it. Just amazed by the word of God and how it speaks into our everyday life. Now, I have big news. I don't know if you guys saw it. Jessica posted something on Facebook. I don't know if you guys saw it. But anyways, the big news is this, is we had a shepherd's meeting last Tuesday. And the previous month, I asked all the shepherds, I said, I went through the neighborhood knocking on doors, asking people what would bless them, what would be a help to this community. And the thing that I got is that there's rampant drug use in the area. And so a recovery program is needed. And so I asked the shepherds to be praying about it. And I can tell you now, unanimously, that they want to start, I want to start, but it passed. And so 90 days from now, we are going to be a Celebrate Recovery Ministry headquarters. And that is going to bring families and to this church for healing. And you guys, in the next 90 days, one, if you want to be a leader, come talk to me. But two, be praying for it. Be praying for the launch. Be praying for the leaders. Be praying for the people that will be coming. Because I think God's going to draw people here for healing, to set them free from those addictions. So be praying for that. That's the big news. The other news, there is not, it wasn't in my notes, but I did have a really good meeting with a worship leader this week that is interested in joining our church. So that'd be good. Yeah, that's good. Okay. So, Matthew 6 is our text. But we need to go back and look at what Jesus taught last week. So last week we looked at not serving two masters, which is God or money. We looked at how possessions have a nasty way of owning us rather than us owning them. We looked at this idea that God can do a lot more, exceedingly abundantly more with what we give him than by the things in them themselves. Because when we give things to God for his use, they affect eternity, even with simple things in our lives. Now, with this idea of the things in our lives, the things that we work for and strive for, this is the topic of today's text. Jesus is talking to the crowds today and about things that we chase after. And so hopefully we will walk away with an understanding that God is our provider in all things. He's our sustainer. And we hopefully will understand that a little bit more than we did when we first walked in here. So open your Bibles with me, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Says this, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about what you will drink, about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe the flowers of the field. They don't labor or spin thread, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, I know this is such a pastor cliche, but what I'm about to say is easy to remember. And it is this: when we see the word therefore in the text, we need to remember what it's there for. Right? That's a very pastor cliche, but it's so easy to remember. When we see therefore in the text, we need to remember what it's there for. All right. So, which is everything that we talked about last week. Right? Striving after things, going after things of this world, which are temporary, and they're passing away. And because of that, he says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life. And the reason I bring up, you know, therefore, it means that everything that precedes this, before the therefore, is relevant for today's teaching. Yeah, and last week, like I said, Jesus was talking about, you know, how bad eyesight, how dark is that darkness. And I read you that quote by Spurgeon that says this: a heart professedly set upon heaven, but held in bondage to earth, is like an eye blinded by the intrusion of a foreign substance. Involving the unfortunate owner of its blindness. There's no such thing as seeing spiritual things while the soul's windows are fastened up with shutters of worldliness. So if a man becomes preoccupied with material things, they become his goal in life. He soon becomes anxious about his physical needs. He becomes preoccupied with what he's going to eat, what he's going to drink, what he's going to wear, where he's going to live. That anxious care comes because of a lack of trust in God. When a man ceases to trust in God for his needs, he eventually becomes enslaved to material things. Our Lord taught that those who are concerned with righteousness cannot serve God and money, or God and material things at the same time. And that exactly is what Jesus taught last week, that we can't serve two masters. It's either the world and its possessions, or Jesus and his righteousness and his kingdom. Can't serve both. And so a worldly person who ultimately trusts in himself and his abilities relies on himself for sustaining his lifestyle. He is consumed with stress and anxiety. But a follower of Christ, a person walking and trusting in the Lord, knows that one of his names, one of the Lord's names, is Jehovah Jireh. I knew you guys knew that. You guys were just being quiet, right? Jehovah Jireh. Now, you know where we first see that name for God? In the Old Testament, in Genesis. Genesis 22, where Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah. And Abraham said, on this mountain, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. And do you know what happened 2,000 years later? The Lord did provide a lamb for sacrifice. And many archaeologists do believe that Mount Moriah is Golgotha, where the Lord provided the lamb who was to be slain to take away the sins of the world, Jesus Christ, on that very same spot. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. So Jesus says that, verse 25, he says, don't worry about your life. what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body and what you will wear? Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Remember, when he taught on prayer a few weeks ago, he says, we come to God as what? Our Father, who cares for us and knows our needs before we ask of him. That's also found in Matthew 6. So Jesus says, don't be like people without a relationship with God. Don't be like them, the hypocrites, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Our Father is aware of our needs. And so Jesus isn't saying the issue isn't whether food, clothing, housing, finances, family, health, tomorrow aren't real concerns. They are. Those are real concerns. Jesus isn't pretending that life doesn't have problems. What Jesus is instilling in his followers is this, is when I face uncertainty in life, when I face hard times and difficulty and hard situations, who do I believe is responsible for holding my life together? Who do I believe holds my life and my future in his hands? It's Jesus. And to instill this point of who are you striving for? Who are you seeking? What are you seeking? Jesus instills the point by saying, you know, about worrying about the things of this world. He goes back to a theme that we see multiple times, a phrase that we see again and again, which is, our Heavenly Father. Those words keep finding themselves over and over in Scripture. It's almost like it's really important because he's instilling it so often. Jesus says, consider this, guys. Consider this. The birds. They don't sow. They don't scatter seed. They don't reap. They don't harvest anything. Or they don't even gather into barns. And yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. They don't store up food. They just are relying on God daily to provide for them. And they're provided for. He keeps them alive. You know, the Bible says that God upholds all things by the word of his power, sustaining even birds. That's included. By the word of his power, he sustains all things. The rotation of the earth, the gravity that is acting on us right now, God is sustaining that by the word of his power. Now, Jesus asks us to consider, are we not more valuable than birds? And elsewhere in the book of Matthew, Jesus kind of poses the same question. He says, aren't two sparrows sold for a copper penny? How much more valuable are you than many sparrows? That's found in Matthew 10, by the way. But birds don't consider where their next meal is coming from. They don't worry or stress about, you know, are they going to find seed or grain? Because our Father has provided for them ways of sustaining them. And then he says a rhetorical question. Can any of you, us today, can any of us add a moment to our lifespan by worrying? The answer to this rhetorical question is an astounding no. No, we cannot, in fact, add 1 minute to our life by worrying or being anxious or stressed. And so, in fact, it's quite the opposite. It's quite the opposite. Stress, anxiety, worry all take away from our life, not add to it. In the U.S., an estimated 42.5 million adults live with an anxiety disorder. 42 million, making it the top mental condition. The American Psychological Association Stress in America report in 2025, here it is. Updated results revealed that 62% of adults cited societal division, non-unity, as a major stressor in the United States. 62% of people worry about the unity in America, and they actively stress over it. 75% of those 42.5 million people stress about the nation's future. Do you guys stress about the trajectory of the future? You shouldn't. Do you know why? Because Jesus is on his throne. He's on his throne and he's ruling and reigning right now. All authority has been given to Jesus. And so it doesn't really bother me who's in political power, because I know who really holds all the power, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Good. But tell me, isn't this a message for today? That this affects so many people? That they need to hear what Jesus says is the cure, is the remedy for anxiety, for stress, for worrying. And you know what makes matters worse about this issue? Is that medical institutes show that worry, stress, and anxiety show a quantifiable link between chronic stress and cardiovascular events like heart attacks. Large-scale studies indicate that frequent anxieties, stressors, increase the risk of developing a coronary heart disease by about 26% and raises the risk of heart-related death by 48%. So no, worrying, stressing cannot add 1 minute to your life. In fact, it does the opposite. It takes time away. So Jesus has established something very important here. Worry doesn't change tomorrow. Worry doesn't add anything to our lives. Worry doesn't provide anything that we need. And yet, if we're truly honest, knowing that doesn't automatically make the worry disappear. You can tell someone, don't worry, don't stress about this, and they can look at you and say, Pastor, I know I'm not supposed to worry, but I still have this thing, this situation in my life, this hard difficulty that I'm stressing about. So Jesus just doesn't tell us what not to do, praise God. He tells us what we're supposed to do in those moments that we find ourselves stressing about things. But he goes on, verse 28, he says, why do you worry about your clothes? Observe the wildflowers of the field. Now, Jesus is using two things from creation, wildflowers and birds, both created by God. And the flowers and the birds, they make the same argument. With the birds, Jesus says, your heavenly Father feeds them. With the flowers, God says, God clothes the flowers of the field. And Jesus brings it always back to us, and he says, aren't you more valuable than they? Well, why? Why are we more valuable than sparrows and birds and the grass of the field? It's because we're made in his image. Apart from every other part of creation, we specifically, humans, are made in his likeness and his image. And that has intrinsic value. The birds of the air are not made in his image. The grass of the field, as beautiful as they are not made in his image. But we are. And he cares for us. Because we bear his image. And more than that, the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, are not his children. We are. Christ followers are. So let me ask you this. What kind of father would give up his only son for you and then abandon you when you need him the most or in a difficult situation? The answer is he wouldn't. He gave everything, like the song we sang earlier said. He gave everything for you. He'll see you through this hard situation, trust me. And the promises of God say that he is with us always, even to the end of the age. So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? Anxiety, stress, worry all sound like those statements. What are we going to do? So if you find yourself saying things that you know, sound like that, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? How am I going to make this work? Have you ever found yourself saying that? What if happens? If you find yourself saying that one, fill in the blank, that's anxiety creeping in. And anxiety keeps asking the question that faith has already answered. Jesus says, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. He knows. And so, church, there is nothing wrong with recognizing that we do have needs. Jesus never tells us that we won't have needs. He tells us that we don't have to live, though, as we have no Father, because we have a heavenly Father who knows our needs. You know, David in the Psalm 37, he says this, I have been young and I have been old, yet I have not seen the righteous abandoned or his children begging for bread. Isn't that true? Now let's look at the main verse, verse 33. Here Jesus gives us the answer. He told us that what anxiety looks like. He told us what anxiety and worry cannot accomplish. He has reminded us that we have a heavenly Father that knows what we need. And now he tells us what we're supposed to do. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. First caveat I want to say is prosperity preachers, they use this verse out of context all the time. They say, seek first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. Not all things, all these things. What are these things here talking about? Daily needs. That's what's being provided. Not mansions, not race cars, right? Seek first the kingdom of God, make him your priority, and your daily needs will be met, is what is being said. That's the promise of Scripture. This is a conditional statement, meaning if we seek first the kingdom, then the daily needs of life will be added unto you. And that these things, like I said, are talking about food, drink, and clothing. It says nothing about the things that we want. It says the things that we need will be added unto us. So what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? What does it mean? Well, Jesus doesn't simply say, don't worry. He replaces worry with something to pursue. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. And seeking the kingdom means seeking the king of that kingdom. It means seeking Jesus. It means, God, I want your will in my life more than I want my will to be done. It means, God, I want your kingdom more than I want my kingdom to be built. God, I want your righteousness more than I want my comfort. That's what it looks like. God, I trust you with my needs while I pursue what you have called me to pursue. Now, here's the thing, application-wise. Dads, are you planning your kids' schedule around sports on the weekend more than church? That's what seeking first the kingdom of God could look like, is no, we're going to plan around church and fill in sports later. It's a secondary thing. Moms, are you planning church events for your family to attend during the week? Right? Like actual application. What does this look like for the family unit? Are you guys planning church events and seeking the kingdom and growing your family in the kingdom of God first as a priority? More than the worldly things of sports and events. Last week, Jesus says, you can't serve God and money. This week, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. So last week, the issue was, who is your master? This week becomes, what are you seeking? And the answer Jesus gives is, my master is Jesus, and I'm seeking his kingdom. Now, someone might say, okay, Pastor, I understand what Jesus is telling me, but how do I actually do what I'm asked to do when I'm facing something that scares me? Well, that's where Paul comes in. Paul gives us a practical picture in Philippians chapter 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say it, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about some things. Don't worry about small things. No, that's not what it says. Don't worry about anything, is what it says. But in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen, somebody. Amen. So here's what we're supposed to do. Paul gives us kind of a rubric. He says, acknowledge that you're anxious. Bring it to God in prayer. Make your requests known. Thank God for who he is and what he has already done. It's because that's where it says, with thanksgiving. Trust him with the outcome. And then rest. Bring it to God. Acknowledge your need. Thank him for who he is and what he's done. And trust him with the outcome. And then rest. Doesn't that sound nice? To just let that stress and anxiety and that worry go? Because he's the one that provides. He's the one who sustains. So here's the thing. Prayer isn't pretending that the problem isn't there. Prayer is taking the problem to the one who is bigger than the problem. You know, people a lot of times ask me who I like as pastors to listen to. I really like John MacArthur. I like Vodi Bocum. He's no longer with us. But he says this, whatever you're afraid of, whatever it is that you're enduring, it is not bigger than a dead Jesus. And if God can raise Jesus Christ from the dead, he can bring you through whatever it is that you're facing. Isn't that good? Wow. And so therefore, Jesus says, therefore don't worry about tomorrow. Because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Now, Jesus isn't promising you that tomorrow won't have trouble. In fact, he says the opposite. He says tomorrow will have trouble. It has enough of its own, meaning it has trouble. There are going to be hard days, and there's going to be sicknesses in this life, and financial struggles, and there's going to be broken relationships. There will be disappointments. Christianity, hear me, is not a promise that we have no troubles in this world. Jesus says, you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome this world. But the promise that we find here in Scripture is that we don't have to face those troubles alone. We have a Heavenly Father. So Jesus has brought us to a very important question this morning, and that is, asking it again, what are we seeking? Who are we seeking? Because everybody is seeking something. Some people are seeking financial security, and they find peace in accumulating a lot of money. Some people are chasing success, comfort, approval, relationships, control, happiness, vices. Some people are chasing retirement, like that's the end all be all. Or maybe they're just chasing possessions in and of themselves. But here's the problem. All of those things that claim to give you satisfaction will end up leaving you broken when you get what you think you wanted. It won't fill that void. And there's only one thing in this life will fill that void, and it is a relationship with your Creator. Here's the other problem, guys. Is those things that we're seeking, whatever we seek first as a priority eventually becomes the thing that we trust in the most. So if it's money, you trust in money to keep you safe. And that brings us back into what Jesus is talking about. Jesus isn't simply saying stop being anxious. He's saying stop making the things of this world your ultimate pursuit. Because if this life is what you're ultimately seeking, this worldly life is what you're seeking, then everything that threatens that life will eventually bring fear, anxiety, and stress. If the things of this world is what you're seeking, if something threatens those things, it brings stress and anxiety. So if money is what you're seeking, losing money, guess what? It produces fear, anxiety, stress. If security is what you're seeking, uncertainty brings stress and anxiety. If comfort is the thing that you're seeking, then suffering produces stress, anxiety. If people's approval is what you're seeking, rejection brings stress and anxiety. But if it's Christ, if Christ is what you're seeking, then circumstances don't get to determine your ultimate security. Christ is the firm foundation on which we build our house. It is not a foundation of sinking sand like the world. Jesus doesn't just give us a list of things we need to start doing so that we can become better people. Christianity isn't ultimately about trying harder and seeking his kingdom more. The gospel tells us about a king who came seeking us first. So when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom, it's because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost first. We're called to seek the king, but the good news is the king came seeking us while we were astray. Jesus came into this world and lived the perfect life, the righteous life that we could never live. He perfectly trusted the Father. He perfectly sought the kingdom, obeyed the Father, and then he went to the cross. Not because he failed in anything, but because we had. And he took our sins on his shoulders. He took our guilt, our condemnation. He bore the judgment that belonged to us. And he rose from the grave victorious. So now the Christian isn't trying to earn God's favor or his kingdom by seeking it. We're seeking the kingdom because Christ brought us into his kingdom by his grace. By his grace. And so here's the offer. If you're outside of the kingdom, if you're stressing, if you're chasing the things of this world, if you're filled with stress and anxiety and worry as a constant thing, and they're plaguing you, Jesus says to you, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You can rest in Christ, and you can cast all your cares, all your stress, all your anxiety at the foot of the cross. He will carry it. Maybe you've spent your whole life thinking the wrong things. Maybe you've spent your life trying to build your own kingdom. Maybe you found comfort in chasing money and possessions or relationships, and you've discovered something. None of those things can give you the rest that you're truly looking for. And if that's you, then the simple invitation that Jesus is saying is, come to me. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and get ready, and then I'm going to pray. Lord, I know that it is such a simple thing to be distracted by this world, to chase after the things of this world. To chase after money and comfort and security and strive after those things only to get them and to realize that
that burden and that void that we feel is in our heart is still there. Lord, if someone is chasing after things that aren't fulfilling, Lord, would you just speak to their hearts right now to let them know that you are the answer, that you are who you say you are, and you can do what you say you can do. I'll be out front. If anybody has made that decision, I would love to pray with them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.